Within the section of Tzei Lamad, I'd like to share two insights into the section of Tzei Lamad in the very beginning. Tzei Lamad, again, as I pointed out yesterday, is the emphasis of the entire Seder. It's where we tell the story in the Pesukim of Aramiya Obed Avi from the experience of Bikurim. First of all, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down a question and says, why Tzei Lamad? Why in this section of the Seder? Why right now do we use the word Tzei Lamad? Go out and learn. You could have said, go out and learn anywhere in the Pesukim. Go out and learn when it comes to the four sons, to learn how to understand those sons and learn where the Pesukim come from. Because in fact, each of those sons are actually reflected in the Pesukim of the Torah. Each son, you could find directly, when it says, Ki Yishalcha, it's talking about either the Chacham, when it's talking about Ki Yishalcha, about the Chukim Mishpatim in the Pesukim. And when it says, Ki Yishalcha Mazos, it's talking about the Tam. When the Pasuk says, Ki Yomru Eleichem Beneichem, that your child will tell you, that's talking about the Rasha, because the Rasha is not asking any questions, he's just telling you, and not looking for an answer. And when it just says, Ve'igadat Levincha, and you should just tell your child, that Pasuk, which is typically understood as the emphasis of the entire Seder, that's the major idea of the Seder. This is the impetus of what we're doing on the night of the Seder. That's talking to a child who didn't ask anything. You should then tell your son. He didn't ask anything. He didn't say anything. That's Shein Yedei Lishol. So you could have said, Tzei Lamad, go and learn all these different parts. Tzei Lamad, why is this important in the Seder? Why is that important in the Seder? Why does it say Tzei Lamad specifically by Arami Oved Avi? And the answer is that unlike all the other parts of the section here, of the four psukim from Bikurim, again, the psukim starting with Arami Oved Avi, and then the next pasuk being Vayereu Sana Mitzvah Vayanunu Vanetzach Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, all four of these, right? All four of these psukim that are included here, that's where it says Tzei Lamad. So why here? Because it starts with the words Arami Oved Avi. And while there's some discussion about who the Arami Oved Avi is, who is it referring to, the Haggadah itself knows exactly who it believes it's talking about. Because right beforehand it says, Tzei Lamad, Mabigesh Lavan Arami, Lassos Yaakov Avinu. That the Lavan Arami, Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov and all of the children, all of the grandchildren, everyone. He wanted to kill his own grandchildren. He wanted to destroy their entire family after he chased after them. And Paro only went after the sons, and Lavan went with Bikish Laker as a call. He wanted to destroy everything. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the reason why here it says Tzei Lamad is because there are so many details to that story of the relationship of Lavan and Yaakov, and the relationship with the daughters, and that entire saga could have been included here, but we're not going to include it in the Seder. But that's also important because according to some, we have to go back all the way, we go back all the way to Arami Oved Avi, all the way to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov ultimately was the last of the three Avos, who was the one who ultimately went down to Mitzrayim. As the next part of the Haggadah says, Anus Al Pi Adibur. Anus Al Pi Adibur, that he was forced, so to speak, to go down to Mitzrayim. We'll get there in 1 second. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, Tzei Lamad, in this section of the Haggadah, why? Because it's the part of the Haggadah that the Baal Haggadah is not going into. This is not what we're doing tonight necessarily. You can go on your own time, says the Baal Haggadah, and go and investigate all the different details about how Lavan was so terrible and why it's so important that that we recognize him here. But we're not going to go into the details of Arami Oved Avi. And if you notice, actually, in the Haggadah itself, it only starts parsing the pasuk from Vayera Mitzrayimah. It only starts detailing what Chazal say in those words. And every single word after that, Vayera Mitzrayimah Anos Al Pi Adibur, Vayagar Sham Melamed, this, right? Bimtei Ma'at, Kimash Ne'emar, that. Every single part of each of the psukim, of these four psukim, has a detailed response from Chazal about what the idea is. The Aruch HaShulchan says, not Arami Oved Avi. Those three words and the idea of understanding Lavan's role, that is unique and that requires our personal investigation. That's idea number one for today. The second idea that I wanted to share is just from the beginning here of Vayera Mitzrayim. We mentioned it already, that they went down to Mitzrayim. Now the first pasuk has actually nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim per se. It has everything to do with the beginning of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we went down into Mitzrayim. Not leaving Mitzrayim. It doesn't even mention us becoming slaves. That's pasuk number two. In pasuk number one, all it talks about is that we went down to Mitzrayim in small numbers, as a small people, and left as a large, and actually didn't even say we left yet, and it became a very large nation. Number one, it's important to point out that that is exactly what the Psukim point out was the concern of Paro and the Mitzrim. That they were worried that we were getting so large, so large as a people, that they weren't going to be able to control us anymore. And if an enemy came to attack them, we would join the enemy's forces and actually be a major challenge to the Mitzrim. That's why they subjugated us in the first place. They didn't want us to become so large, and they didn't want us to be a threat to their society. But what does it mean, anus al pi adibur, that we went down to Mitzrayim and we were basically forced, anus al pi adibur, based on what the Ribono Shel Olam says? So there are two approaches to this idea. One is that when Yaakov wanted to go down, but didn't want to go down to Mitzrayim because Yosef invited him down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov ultimately was afraid that his grandfather's tradition, his own grandparents' tradition, Avram and Sarah, would end with him and his sons. Going down to Mitzrayim to go live there, like Gursham? No way! We would assimilate. We'd be lost to the annals of history. Yaakov was totally terrified. And the Ribono Shel Olam comes to him and says, don't worry, you're going to become a great nation. So some understand that's what it means, anus al pi adibur. That basically Yaakov was coerced somehow through both the famine that was going on at the time and through God convincing him that it wasn't so bad, that he went down to Mitzrayim, not because he wanted to be down in Mitzrayim. In fact, he didn't want to be down in Mitzrayim, but he went begrudgingly down to Mitzrayim in the first place. That's some approach. So the other approach, according to the Medrash, is actually, you know who it's talking about here? Anus al pi adibur is to Avram Avinu. Remember, Avram already knew that his grandchildren one day, his people would one day, his descendants, would one day be like Gur, Eretz Asher Lo, right? They would be Gerim, they would be guests, basically. They would not be welcomed in a land that wasn't theirs. They would be in a land that didn't belong to them. In other words, they would be down in Mitzrayim. The Ribono Shel Olam already set in motion by Avram Avinu that we'd be down in Mitzrayim. He already knew that we'd be down in Mitzrayim, and we also knew that we'd come out. But Anus al pi adibur, according to the Medrash, is we were forced, so to speak, by the fate of the existence. And this ties in nicely to the idea from Rav Soloveitchik about an existence of fate versus an existence of destiny. Yes, it was not in Bnei Yisrael's control, in Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov's control, really, as to whether or not we were going down to Mitzrayim. That was already predestined, so to speak, that Bnei Yisrael, that the children of Israel, would have to go down to Mitzrayim based on the fact that there was a mass famine in the land of Eretz Canaan at the time. They had to go down to Mitzrayim. They had to survive. And the Ribono Shel Olam said, I'm coming with you, and it'll be fine. But they had to go down. Their response to that, of making sure not to assimilate, of making sure that they were going to be careful not to change their dress and their names, etc., that response takes it from a moment of fate, the things that were out of their control, and they looked at the things, what is in our control? How can we respond to this experience? I definitely think that right now, when we're looking at the coronavirus specifically and the challenges that come along with it, it doesn't help to ask the question, and maybe a really legitimate question, but it doesn't help us to ask the question why right now. These moments of difficulty don't lend themselves to be understood in the sense of why. Rav Soloveitchik points out this in Kol Yud Dofeik, highly recommended reading. But the question why should not be on our tongues in this moment. We can't understand why. We've been challenged throughout all of history, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, with the idea of tzadik v'ra'lo, how a person who is righteous could have bad things happen to them, and a person that is non-righteous, a rasha, and have good things happen to them. That part, the why, we can't understand. But the what, the way that I can respond, what can I do now, given this reality, Dafka right now, those choices are in our hands. And everyone always is suggesting, specifically during this time period, focus on the things that you can control. It's true that the world is not in our control. It's all in the Ribono Shel Olam's hands. But my control, what's in my control? Am I using my time wisely? Am I davening with that time that I have right now? Am I learning extra right now? How am I responding? Not, why is this happening? Why is there evil? Why is there difficulty? Why are we not well prepared for this? Why? No. Why did Hashem allow this plague to come? All questions that are legitimate, but not going to help us because we're not going to get an answer. The way that we can respond is what? What can I do? B'nai Yisrael looked to the experience of going down to Avdus and says, these are the things that are in our control, and we're going to do them well. Right, pasuk number three of these four psukim is, B'nai Yisrael, we called out to you. And you know what? You heard our call. That part was totally in our hands. The fact that we went down to Mitzrayim, not in our hands, anus al pi adibur. The fact that we were in Mitzrayim and they were terrible to us, also not in our hands. Vayirei osanu. Pasuk 3, that was in our hands. We called out to God and He heard us. The part of us calling out to God was totally in our hands, and that's the way that we reacted. Let's find ways that we can react that are in our control, that are in our own purview, to be allowed this moment of fate right now as well. This virus that really none of us had any control over, and turn it into a moment of destiny, a moment where we were destined for, that we were able to say, this is how we responded. Not answering the question of why, but what can I do now? Have a wonderful day.